Say with me, John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a wonderful promise. And it's gloriously true. Wonderfully true. How many now would like to say you've experienced or witnessed a genuine answer to prayer this week? Would you raise your hand? Wonderful. Thank God. How many believe you've found some genuine spiritual improvement? And you praise the Lord for that. Wonderful. Thank God. Come to the organ, would you, Sister Pickering? I may want to sing later. Just sit there. All week long, I've been wanting to sing. Hardy is a little jealous of his job. Feels threatened with my voice. Wonderful week. Thank God. Thank you, Dr. and Mrs. Smith, for your support of the meeting and for your love. I appreciate them. Thank God. How the Lord has worked miracles here in this city. Known Dr. Smith a long time, and so glad the Lord put his hand upon him to start and to manage and to lead Mid-America Nazarene College. Praise God. I love him. Thank God for them. Been wonderful working with Dean Kettner. I, too, would praise the Lord for what God is doing through him. He not only is interested in some of the things students do, but he's interested mainly in what God's doing for you. will be this prematurely gray head. By the way, you can do something about that, can't you? I think he's over there somewhere. Yes, there he is. Prematurely gray head bowed below the seat, off in this corner, praying with a hungry heart. All week long, he's been helping us pray. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Joined working with Dave McKellips and the cabinet of the school. Dave has been very, very cooperative and helpful. And in chapel said some things that I'm glad God helped him say. That our task is to give good news, praise God. Build our lives on the rock Christ Jesus. Thank God. Well, the staff, this is a wonderful staff, you know that? Charles Westhafer, Harold Olson, Hardy Weathers. Don't know if there's any more than that or not. Oh, there's a lot of people who do a lot of work whose names I don't have down here. But we thank the Lord, and they've been so helpful. Good to see Harold Olson on the platform with a tie and helpful in the meetings. He's Brother Casual. The Lord bless him. Probably will be off hunting now for a month. Think just because they beat Ferguson so he can be gone for a month. No, not really. He's our bus man. Looks like a small bus, don't you think? Kind of fellow that when he falls down, just the same size as when he's standing up. But the staff, we love them, and they've been so wonderful. God bless them. I want to thank Mr. Allegy for his car. Paul, Mark, would you take these keys back to him right now, would you please? Yes. I said, Paul, Mark, is that you? How many have that dumb name beside you? He's right down there on the aisle. Go down that way slowly, and he'll reach out and get it. Thank you, sir. Nova Concours. If you're looking for a car to buy, talk to him. Seriously, I thank him so very much. It was red and it's still... Whoa, stop right there. Whoa. Turn right. That kid would get lost. You know that? But bright red car. It has a little bit of white paint on one fender, but that'll... can be sandblasted off. Get to Dr. John Clark. That's what he did to his car. You'd have the sanctified mafia down front. Right down here. But seriously, we thank you, sir. Use of your car and his wonderful family. God bless them. We are looking forward to a celebration about 9:30 in the gym. We had interest in having it outside, but the Lord took care of that. And so it'll be in the gym. Mike Brooks will be somewhat in charge. Chuck Westhafer will be there to keep his hand on it, lest it gets too exciting. And we'll have testimony time. We have several singing groups, not sure, but I think the Heritage Quartet will be singing in the same suits. However, they'll change them, some will wear the others. But seriously, wonderful time, good time together. And we would thank God for it. So come 9:30, and come casual if you'd like to. Harold Olson will come, and we'll appreciate you coming. It is a privilege to have Dr. and Mrs. Ted Martin here. I do have fun putting him down, only because it's impossible to do that. In the homiletics class, one student, after much coaching by Professor Barr Smith, asked me what minister, preacher, I considered my idol or ideal. And without any hesitation, it was, of course, my brother Ted Martin. I think he's one of the great preachers of the holiness movement. You'll be hearing him on Showers of Blessing, beginning, I think, the 1st of November, sometime this month, maybe the 1st of December. And I know you'll enjoy his ministry. But I thank the Lord for him, for his lovely wife. God bless them. I'm going to mark that down because I keep track of how much I say about him this night. I won't have to say it till next year. Oh, yes. Thank you for the offering that was given. Thank you, Dr. Miss Cunningham, for your kindness to me. God bless you. Every need supplied and cared for in a wonderful manner. Best of all, it's just good to be with them, their family. Wonderful to be at the Tibbetts one night, and was so good to be with, and I don't want to be casual in the sense that I think of them as just that way, but I did enjoy being with Chuck and Jeannie Milhoff. She's a lovely woman. I guess one has to be to live with him, but... Thank you, Jeannie, for the good night there, and the same with the tickets. Please turn your Bible to Luke chapter six. I love the church. Would you play, sister? This is a song I've been wanting to sing. Most of us who are sort of communicators write our own music and songs, and I write mine. And most homemade songs are too long, and mine's too long. Generally play guitar and rhythm guitar at the same time. One strapped to the back and one to the front. But I'll forgo those things. I love the church. I really do. I grew up in the Church of Nazarene. My older brother was my Sunday school teacher in junior class. That's when I suffered from sore shin bones. His only method of discipline was to kick you. It's late, it's before John Dewey's time, but it's a rather successful method. I love the church. I used to count the bald-headed people and divide them by the ladies with striped dresses. I love the church. It's all I know is the church. God's been good. The church is a good place. The church is God's doing. Do you believe that? And God's way is a good way. That's your playing, sister. You have the list, don't you, there? Please play the music I've written. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I love the choir, and I appreciate this choir. I enjoy the pulpit, and this church is rather unusual. The pulpit is quite tiny behind here. Not many pulpits are. This pulpit is so fixed that you can pound it, and it only hurts your hand. It doesn't do it any harm. I love the church. But I love the altar. Here's the altar. I love the altar. I went to the altar a lot when I was young, and I go a lot now. I was in Houston International Airport, saw a sign saying, to the chapel. I found my way there, and there was an altar. And the Protestant Bible was open to Acts, the second chapter. Glory to God. And I enjoyed praying, enjoyed telling the Lord how much I loved him. Do you love the altar? Oh, I do. We dedicate babies at the altar. How are you? Most all pastors hold babies like they're China dolls or something. You'd think they never had any. Ron Seaman will hold that little thing of his like that, I'm sure. I held my son while my father dedicated him. How many people in this audience ever brought a youngster to this altar or to the altar in the small church or even the old church, but you brought a youngster to the altar for dedication? This altar become sacred to you for that. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Hope you bring some more. Don't nudge him like that. Oh, I love the altar, don't you? Place to stand with your family and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because I love the altar. We marry couples. Do you know the wedding march? Play some of it, would you? We're ready now. Ready in there now. Ready. I'm not going to marry anybody. My winner rates are on $10 with music. Oh, Jesus never fails. How many people, you know, I was married in Nazarene Parsonage in Weezer, Idaho. If you're looking for a place to get married, try Weezer, Idaho. Oh, friend, how good it is to find your friends and sweethearts in a holiness church. How many of you are married in this church or the Chapel Garrett Chapel Church or the old church, but you were married? Slip your hand up, would you please? And you're still together. Hang on. How many intend to be married here? Slip your hand up. I don't think you'll make it, friend. How many of you are married in a humble holiness church by an altar, something like this? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Oh, I love the church. I was getting ready to marry a couple one time, and she cried all the way down the aisle. The girl did. I can't stand tension, you know that, so I turned to her and said, I don't know why you're crying. Maybe you know this fellow better than I do. She stopped crying. Some thought I said, peace, daughter, but I didn't. Of course, I love the church. Love the altar. The altar where we lay to rest those we've loved and lost. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. I can't help but remember tonight that my sweet mother was laid to rest from the altars of First Church of the Nazarene, Portland, Oregon. And I'm reminded, too, that my father was laid to rest from the altar of First Church of Nazarene, Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. That's where Canadian Nazarene College was. I love the church. I said to Monica Martin, my wife, if she survives, the memorial service for me must be in a church. I don't want to argue about a chapel. They're beautiful, but I love the church. How many of you, and I think many can slip a hand, laid someone to rest from the altar of this church or from the, what I call the old church, the chapel? They were a friend of yours. You loved them. Maybe your father, mother, or a friend from the altar of this church. Would you slip your hand up? Yeah. I said to a pastor, have you had any funerals in the church? He said, yes. He said, have you ever seen three caskets side by side? I love the altar, don't you? It simply says to me, life isn't just here, life is there. Glory to God. How many of you laid someone to rest from the humble altar of Holiness Church somewhere else? Makes this altar kind of precious. Would you slip your hand up? Thank you so much. Of course, I love the altar. It's like kneeling at the old rugged cross. It's a place to pray. Praise the Lord. A place to pray. Place to seek the Lord. I asked this morning, let me ask again tonight. How many have ever been at this altar here or in the Garrett Chapel? You've been at this altar and by the coming found peace and salvation. Slip your hand up, would you? Beautiful. Thank the Lord. Bow your heads, please. You see, this altar is so fixed that tears won't hurt it. It's strong enough to hold you and your burdens. It's a good place to pray. Play with you something of this sweet song. You've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. Is your all on the altar? I'm certain there are several right now who would say, Mr. Martin, when you pray, pray for me. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up. I see them. Thank you. I see them. I see them. Pray for me. I can't tell exactly who you are from this distance, but I have a wonderful feeling that someone special raised their hand tonight, someone special to me. Anybody else want to say, pray for me? Pray for me. Anyone else? So, sweet Jesus, in the next few minutes, in a special way, talk to our hearts. Amen. Thank you. Luke chapter 6 talks about foundations. Would you read with me just two verses out loud? Verse 48, 49. He is like a man which built an house, read with me, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Thank God. Read this one. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I remember so well as a high school boy, I believe, this story. I'm sure it must have been an evangelist. He told about a young farmer, orchard man, that built and planted a whole new orchard. It was his pride and joy, and as the trees began to grow, he was excited about that. Thought of the day when fruit would hang heavy on those limbs, and his investment would return. In orchard business, it takes a while to get back even a little bit from the first cost. He carefully watered and carefully pruned and carefully watched over the trees. They grew to be, let's say about that size, maybe 3-4 inches diameter. One night a storm came. It beat upon his house and upon his orchard. He, secure in his home, thought nothing much, save that the rain that fell would be good for the orchard. But in the early morning hours, doing chores, the word shock really isn't quite big enough, really isn't quite strong enough. But he was shocked through and through. For every tree was broken about the same place. Every tree. He ran to one of the trees to examine, and he immediately saw what happened. The trees were this size outside. But where they were broken, there was a metal band. A metal band that when he planted the trees, the small trees, said what they were, and I guess some number of their planting, or some number from the nurseryman. So though they were this size, at the heart they were this size. And so the years have passed in my life, and again I cry to you and to myself, what about foundation? What about the inside? You look so good.
You seem to be so concerned. You seem to be, you're here. You're not anywhere else, you're here. But what about it? Each of us is building. We're builders. There's no neutral person. You cannot say, I'm not building. You are, one way or another. We're building in everything we do. Watch out, my young friend. Watch out, my young friend. Maybe my message is to young couples more than any. Watch out. In everything we do, we're building. I've got some wild ideas, and I only shared them the last night of revival. I don't even like to see couples, young couples, calling each other by crude names. It's funny, I know, and that's why I mentioned it so you'll remember it. The young fella called his wife Crisco. Crisco. Follow it back through to what was sold before Crisco. And when company wasn't there and he was real mad, he called her by the old name. Lard face. Crisco. I know a couple that calls their little baby boy Stinky. I guess he does. But I never feel good about it. We're building in everything we do. Everything we do. Nothing really passes without some kind of an effect. That which comes out of your mouth does you more harm, cries the Word of God, than that which you take in. Some are building badly, careless. One of my brother's more common illustrations for morning meetings at camp meeting was about a member of his church that said to him one day, you've been talking a lot about love and loving the family. How can you love a woman that cooks the way my wife does? He was the wrong one to talk to. For our mother was a very poor cook. My mother was an ordained elder. She wasn't called to cook. People say, have some of mother's home cooking. I say, you'd better have yours, to tell you the truth. My mother never even dusted underneath the piano. No one ever looks under the piano just to be doing it, but if you have a cottage prayer meeting, you might. So when mother had cottage prayer meeting, she dusted down low, where some of the saints would pray through on their knees and then look around down there and see how things are. My brother said something rather profound to him, I'm sure. Well, he said, why don't you come out Saturday night and I'll show you. The old rascal. He invited the preacher Saturday, but he didn't tell his wife. So when they arrived, all they had was beans. B-E-A-N-S, beans. I'm not sure they had brown bread to go with it, just beans. How far along has it been? And they were eating, and my brother, this is why he's such a great man. He was saying, oh, I always like beans Saturday night. Nothing you could have had more, better. Nothing you could have had better for me. I think he meant it. She went in the kitchen to get more beans, for he was laying some away. While he was out there, the fellow pounded the table and said, I tell you that, see, Reverend Martin, see, Mr. Martin, how can you love a woman that cooks beans like that? This is one of the finest lines my brother's ever said. Put his hand over his heart, and I think he looked wistful. He said, how can you put love and beans in the same sentence? Doesn't that kind of help you? Doesn't that kind of lift you? Some are building poorly. Some of the finest people that I know are building poorly. I mean that. I don't think they see it. I don't think it really strikes them. I wish they would see it. Open our eyes that we might see, dear Lord. The question is simply this, what is this doing to me? What am I building? Whatever you write on the heart of a child, no water will wash it away. The sins of Judah, cried Jeremiah, are written with a pen of iron and the point of a diamond. Sounds almost modern, the point of a diamond. Now, since I said that, there will be a playback. Perhaps the record was cut by a diamond point. And when you play that back, your record, your building, it'll be heard with great volume. What are you doing about it? Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord?" Verse 46, we didn't read it. "And do not the things which I say." We're building. Strangely enough, my friend, we're building in such a way that often we do not seem to see the danger, the damage, the terrible pull, the drift. We do not see it. There's a phrase in the Old Testament about Samson. It's a strong phrase, oh so strong. Listen to it, would you? "And he wist not that the Lord had departed." A hollow shell was Samson, a walking lie. God's no. He hardly knew he was gone. And so we build our careless way, disrespectful of each other. So we build, resenting and resenting discipline and resenting the things that we must do. And so we build. We see not the slipping away. See not the leak in our lives, and slowly it seeps away. Are you listening? Thank you for listening. But on the other side, and I have to have another side, you know I would, there's a verse that's almost like it, but it's about Moses. It says, "And he wist not that his face shone." He'd been with God. Something about spirituality is that if you think you're spiritual, you aren't. Building well, building right, building honestly, building carefully. And there's a glow, and there's a freshness, and there's life that maybe you even don't know yourself. The beautiful influence of it. Glory to God. A shining face Stephen had. One of the preachers that we had in the West, he is the father of Aletha Miller, Paul Miller's wife, Paul of Now Communications, Ira Dumas. He was in his teens, unsaved, hungry to go to church, longing to go. His sister, older sister, got saved, and he wanted so badly to go to church. His parents refused to let him. And wisely, he obeyed his parents till he was of age for decision. And let me say it once, and then I'll forget it. There's something good about obedience, even when it is hard. But he would walk around the Medford Nazarene Church, Medford, Oregon. He even got up on the porch one time and peeked through the double doors and saw Holiness Under the Lord across the top. So hungry. He took his Bible, I think as I remember, he was about 15 or 17 years of age. He'd take his Bible into the attic and with a flashlight read it, for his parents forbid him to read Protestant Bible. His sister had found Christ. And she didn't know it, but her face shone. He thought it did. She came to see them from, I think, Las Vegas, Nevada, where they lived. She came to see them. And she would go out in the garden to pray, for she didn't want to embarrass them. They hated any kind of prayer like this. And when he knew she was out of the house, he thought she was in the garden, and he said, I'd go out and look across the garden and see her and her face shone. Did it, Brother Martin? I don't know. He thought it did. You see, she was building. She was building with love. She was building for Jesus. She'd taken her stand. She was building. Glory to God. And she wist not that her face shone with the glory of God. He said, I went out there one day and watched her a while, and then ran down into the bigger garden among the in the stand of corn, and fell on my knees and began to cry out, God, give me a shining face like my sister. And soon there was a tap on her shoulder, and there she stood, saying, I saw you come. And that's where Ira Dumas found Jesus as his Savior. Praise God. Strangely enough, foundations are secret things, usually, until the storm comes. And storms will come. There's no immunity to storms. They're secret things. Storm days are judgment days. They're days when the whole life is found to be solid and sound, or found to be crumbling and cheap. How are you building? What are you doing? And in the simple story Jesus told, one man built on sand and on earth. It looked good, seemed right. I'm certain We come easily. Our conscience are not bothered too much. Our spirits light and gay, and that which pleases seems to please, and care be thrust away. But if we could see with the eye of God, our foundation is crumbling. You see, God has quality material for your life. Praise God. Brother Martin, I want to be admired. There's no substitute for obedience. I'd rather obey than be admired. Oh, I don't want to be made fun of. I know something better than admiration. Obedience to God. Obey God. Building obedience. Building love, building understanding, building just respect for one for the other. Building in prayer, building in Bible love. Discussion is good. Oh, Brother Martin, if we could just get together and discuss. I believe that. But there's still no substitute for obedience. When they won't listen, when the discussion becomes an argument. The simple question is, are you obeying God? Doing what God wants you to do? Wants me to do? It's wonderful to feel good. I like to feel good. But even more important than feeling and emotion is obedience. Glory to God. The quiet confidence that you're obeying God. The quiet confidence that you and only you know. For foundations are secret usually and unseen until the storm comes. What are you doing about it? Please bow your heads across this crowd. Turn, would you, Mrs. Pettinger, to hymn 227. Bow your head. I says, would you lower our lights quite low? No one looking around. Don't begin to play yet, excuse me. Don't begin just yet. I remember the first time I was in a service like this, my brother was conducting it. These spots too, sir, if you don't mind. Maybe the spots out. If that isn't a difficult thing, someone find where these spots are. Heads are bowed. I remember that God spoke to my heart in the soft light. This is what I'm asking you to do. I want to see tonight 5 minutes of perfect obedience to God. 5 minutes of perfect obedience to God. In just a little bit, thank you, that's just right. In just a little bit, our organist will begin to play hymn 227. We'll not sing it right now. I want Pastor and Dr. Smith and Harold Olson to be kneeling with me down inside the aisle, inside the altar. I want every person in this crowd that God's talking to get up out of your seat and come and pray. I do want Brother Westhafer and Brother Olson, our pastor, to be concerned if we need the front seat. The reason the lights are low, and we can even lower them yet if it's all right in the rheostat arrangement to lower them even closer. I don't want you to think about who you're sitting by. I want you to forget for a little bit who you're sitting by. If the most spiritual person, in your opinion, feels like coming forward tonight, forget it. That's why the lights are low. It's not for any effect. I want every person to feel free to come. I want the pastor to feel free to pray with anybody that he ought and wants to pray with. Same thing with Brother Westhafer and others. I want you to come. I want you to come. Maybe there'll be some couples together that are really concerned about the building of their lives, their homes. Talk it over, would you? Talk it over, young friend. Maybe there's a professing Christian here who, when you're honest, you say, I'm almost backslidden. Maybe I am. Feel free to come. The lights are low. Maybe there's someone with almost unable to carry your burden anymore. But you get up and come. What Hardy Weathers to sing the fourth time. Not necessarily the fourth verse, Hardy, but the fourth time. I want you to come. Pray as long as you want. You can go back to your seat anytime you want to. If you have a definite spiritual need, I invite you to stay. We want to help you. All that I could see, not just for me, but God could use 5 minutes of perfect obedience to God. The organ will play these verses. She'll play them in strong chords after I pray. Since we not be singing it, let me read a verse or two. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. How about this? Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. How about this? Out of myself to dwell in thy love, dear Jesus, fall across this crowd. May this good, tall man be the first of a great host of people that take time to check the foundation. Check the foundation.